Thank you. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in singing of the name above all names. That is the subject this morning. That's what we've been talking about these last weeks. As we first looked at the burning bush, Moses asked, "Who should I say sent me?" God sent Moses on a mission. He sends us on a mission. And God said to Moses, "Tell them the I Am sent you." And the I Am is the name for Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God of the Bible. So we have seen Jesus repeatedly disclose himself as the great I Am. And this morning, we come to a passage that is a sweet spot. Bible is full of sweet spots, but John chapter 14. John chapter 14, if you would open, we see Jesus says in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the name above all names. We are made in God's image. We are created for a relationship with Him. Jesus discloses who God is. And discloses who we are in relationship to God and relationship to one another. In just a few chapters in John, there is going to be a climactic, tragic, misunderstood, initially, event. Jesus will soon be crucified. And then Jesus will be resurrected. He'll be raised. And when Jesus introduced the subject, people didn't have a category for it. They didn't understand it. But Jesus now, beginning in John chapter 13, tells them that he's going to be going away. And where he's going, you can't follow. And Peter says what? "I'm going to follow you." "I'm going to follow you." And Jesus says, "You know, before the night is over, you're going to deny me." And Peter finds that just absolutely impossible to believe. And so then now the disciples are troubled. I mean, this is a great affliction. I mean, Jesus, what did he do whenever he first saw the disciples? Same thing he did with us. He said, "Follow me. Follow me." And they did. They did for 3 years. And now he says, "Well, I'm going to be leaving, and where I'm going, you're not going to be able to follow." And this doesn't make any sense to them. And so he explains what it looks like to follow Jesus in the absence of the presence, the visible, tangible, "I can see you, I can hug you, I can share a meal with you," Jesus. And the day is coming when they won't be able to eat with him. They'll be able to eat in memory of him. They'll be able to thank him for who he is. But he's leaving. So they are disturbed to the point of distraught. It's a deep, visceral emotion. But what he tells them in John 14 is he discloses the good and gracious King. We just sang of the good and gracious King. And he discloses the heart of the good and gracious King who doesn't leave us alone, who doesn't abandon us. And so that for Jesus to leave in a place where we can't follow, he doesn't leave us alone. So we read the account in John chapter 14 where we see the gracious and generous heart of God shows us a Father who loves us, a Father who sent His Son, a Father who gives those who love Him His Spirit, His person. In John chapter 14, we see the triune God of the Bible. Three persons, one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, in perfect community, in perfect unity, united in God's mission to heal a broken world through the death and resurrection of His Son and the life transformation that His Spirit works in the heart of the person who says yes to the Word of Jesus Christ. So John 14 opens with words of calm and reassurance from Jesus to all who care about Jesus. And John chapter 14 closes with words of peace and calm. Because the disciples, they need peace. They need calm for their panicked heart. They have a mix of adrenal-driven courage and fear and bravado. So Peter promises that I'm going to go wherever you're going to go, and wherever you're going to go, you really can't stop me from going. And Peter makes this promise, he makes this resolve, and he finds out that his greatest strength is not great enough. And so he'll soon discover who Jesus is and how weak Peter is. So the disciples in unison are willing to die with Jesus. And it's in this moment that we read John chapter 14. Check out verses 1 through 3, where we see the beautiful heart of God. And what does the beautiful heart of God look like? Well, in the first three verses, we see that God wants those who love Him near to Him, in a place prepared by Him for our presence with Him. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus promises a future and that the best is yet to come. So He's leaving, but He's not abandoning us. And He is going to come again. And so Jesus alone knows fully what's about to happen, and if anyone had caused panic, it would be the one who knows what's going to happen. And he's troubled, and he speaks with no fear. He regulates his emotion. He doesn't seek to be served. He doesn't retreat. He doesn't turn and run. He doesn't retreat into a cave of self-pity, but he leads and he models for us what it looks like to be at peace and to have confidence in the Father. He reassures them. He resets the mood in the house. Believe God, he says. Believe me. As God the Father is worthy of your complete trust, so God the Son is worthy of our complete trust. Believe Jesus. He's going to His Father's house. His Father's house is heaven where the Father dwells. It's our destiny in Christ. It's our eternal home. And He uses this imagery that's accessible to us. We don't want to reduce this to less than it is. There's going to be plenty of space for all who love Jesus Christ. It's not a mansion versus a shack. What it is, it's a place of nearness, of presence, to be near the Father, which is the rightful place of all who confess faith in Jesus Christ. It is our place of belonging, those who confess faith in Jesus. We're promised an eternal presence with Him, and He says, that's where I'm going, and I'm going to get it ready for you. Look at the last part of John chapter 14, verse 31. Look what he says. but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. So that's his promise. He says, I'm doing what the Father commanded. And then they get up and they walk out into turmoil. They walk out into chaos. And it's in the midst of that chaos that Jesus reassures his disciples. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's what he's talking about. How's he going to prepare a place? Well, he's going to go to the cross. He's going to take our sin on himself. He's going to die the death that we deserve to die. That's how he is preparing a place. He's going to be resurrected. He's going to be raised from the dead so that all who have faith in this Jesus have life right now, life forever, and a destiny assured in the context, in the presence of the Father. And right now, how is he preparing a place for us? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for all who know him. So that Jesus Christ has finished his work, and one day you and I will experience a homecoming, a someday, future day. Jesus Christ will return, a second coming for those believers who remain on earth. Because of the cross and our relationship with Jesus, we belong to God, which means this life right now is preparation for the next. That this life is just simply a short prelude to the story that God is writing for eternity. So the troubles of this life, they double and they triple. They can invade the heart. They can steal our trust. They can create doubt in the goodness of God, when all along the Son of God is working on our behalf. We are secure in him until we will finally be home with him in our Father's house. So Jesus says, where I am, there you may be also. God wants those who love him near to him. In his presence, where I am, there you may be also. What does the generous heart of God look like? Secondly, God provides the only way into the presence of the Father. Verses 4 through 6. And you know the way where I am going. Time out. You know this. You know where I'm going, and you know the way. You know how to get there, and I thank God for Thomas, you know, who gives voice to people like me. Wait, I don't get that. I don't know. So Thomas says in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? I mean, we can't Google it. We don't know. Where are you going? And we said we would follow. And how are we going to follow if we don't know where you're going? And then we come to these words that are exclusive. Every once in a while, it's actually more common than ever. People say, well, you know, there are many different paths to the top of the same mountain. And that's bogus. So why did Jesus have to die if there are other ways to get to the top of the mountain, to join him in the Father's house? Was his death needless? So what he says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I He said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The most gracious gift of the heart of the Father is we can know the Father. We can know the Father, and He makes it possible for us to know the Father through His Son, which is God's kindness. It's His grace fully demonstrated, summed up in Jesus Christ. He is the way. He will go to the cross. He'll die our death. He'll be raised to life, that through faith in Him, we're going to our Father's house. He is the truth, not my truth. Not truth that you make up. He is the Father's truth. Ultimate truth. He is the one that discloses true truth to us. Not a made up humanity, write it in a book and sell it kind of truth. He sums up God's truth so that we can know who God is and know what God wants and live out what God says. He is truth, and in His truth, He is life. And it's in His truth that we experience His life. He is the way to know the Father. He alone has the authority to claim this kind of exclusiveness. Exclusiveness. He is the way to the Father. And He says, no one comes to the Father but through me. The good news is we can come to the Father. Where do we see the generous heart of God in these verses? Thirdly, God discloses the Father to us through the Son, so that if we know the Son, we know the Father. To know Jesus is to know His Father. To know Jesus is to make us, through faith in Him, a daughter, a son of the Father. So that when we know Him, when we see Him, if we know Him, then we know the Father. And that's what follows. Check out John 14, 7 and 8. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Because they knew Jesus, they saw Jesus. Because they saw Jesus and they knew Jesus, they knew the Father. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. So Jesus says, if you know me, then you know the Father. If you've seen me, then you have seen the Father. And then Jesus says in verse 9, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So that when we know Jesus Christ, then we know the Father. And Jesus, in a voice full of emotion, asks Philip, you've been with me 3 years? You know me? You know what I've said? How can you not know the Father? And then the response continues in verses 10 and 11. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? The Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Some time ago, I read about a study where scientists released these stunning photos of a black hole. A black hole which has such powerful gravitational forces that it just sucks the light back into it. So you can't see it. well, scientists used a boatload of complex algorithms and worldwide telescopes that all synchronized this image of a black hole, and they finally announced in triumph, the lead scientist said, "We have seen what we thought was unseeable." There's no way for us to know God except through the Son. So that it is through the Son that we can see what no eye has ever seen. We see who the Father is. We see the heart of the Father. So that God, in His grace and in His kindness, He sent His Son so that we could see the unseeable, the God that no eye can see, except He discloses Himself to us, making Himself, making God visible to humanity by becoming a man. So that we can see the unseeable. How do we see the gracious heart of our Father in John 14? Well, forth, God works in us and will work through us to accomplish His purposes for His glory. So we see in 12 to 14, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so Jesus is going to go to the Father. He's not going to be visibly present among those who have followed Him and who love Him. So He's not going to be visibly present, but guess who is? We are. And the one who does His salvation work in us, God sent the Son on a mission, and the Son sends us on a mission. So that those who remain and those who love and follow Jesus Christ can live out the life that He envisioned for us, so that He resources us. He invites us to pray, to appeal to the Father, to talk to Him. And then He says, "I want you to love one another." And He's not done talking. There is more that He has to say about the resources that He provides for us to do His work. So from God's heart to our heart, He works in us and through us to reflect the goodness of God and the gracious heart of our Heavenly Father. There's yet another way that we see the gracious heart of God in John chapter 14 and verses 16 through 18, God gives us His Spirit to help us understand the Father and the Son, so that we can fold into His purposes and His ways. Look at verse 16. "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever." So Jesus is going to be with the Father. He's going to give us His Spirit, and His Spirit will be with us forever, right now. So that if we have a faith relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you and I have God the Spirit dwelling within us, recreating, resourcing, strengthening us. God the Spirit, third person of the triune God. He is called the Spirit of Truth in verse 26. He's called the Holy Spirit in verse 16. And in verse 26, He is called a helping presence. So that the Holy Spirit will replace Jesus physical and encouraging presence with the disciples and then with us. So he is helper, comforter, helping presence of God, the Spirit. He is with us forever. He is Spirit of truth. So that you and I have God the Spirit dwelling within the heart of those who know and love him. There's yet another way that we see the gracious, generous heart of God in John 14. And this is powerful. God offers peace in the midst of chaos. In John 14, 27 to 31. You know, it's hard to describe the things that are happening in our world, but chaos is probably as close as we can get. Chaos in the lives of families, lives, relationships, chaos in a world where you have the ruler of this world, chaos, you know, the unexpected. It's chaos. And in the midst of that chaos, for those with our eyes open, in and through Jesus Christ, we can experience an internal, relational, inside out, peace with God, peace with one another, and peace within. So he promises. So chaos, I mean, it's just about to unfold. The week that follows is chaos. And Jesus, in the midst of that, anticipating, preparing his disciples, and then preparing us, he promises peace in the midst of chaos. And so I love these words in verses 27 to 31. Peace, I leave. So he's going to go. Peace, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you. Why? Because the king of chaos is on the loose. The ruler of the world, the devil himself, Satan, who wants to disfigure the image of God, who wants to break peace-driven relationships. The ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let's go from here. The peace Jesus offers you, he won for you. He won for you on the cross. So that this death that he died, and the life that he is raised to, he offers to you. And once we come to this faith relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we can know and experience that peace. It's his gift to us. His gift to those who know Jesus Christ. And I love the last line of chapter 14. Get up. Get up and go. Get up and go in peace. With him, through him, for him. Will you pray with me? Father, we love you. We are so grateful to know your heart, to see how good and gracious and patient and you are in giving us your Son and giving us your Spirit and giving us your Word. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your peace. May we experience your peace today, tomorrow, and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.